the Public News Service Daily Newscast, July the 25th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. Vice President Kamala Harris, now the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, delivered what's being called a powerful message in Indianapolis. We get the details from our Joe Ulloa.
Speaking at a Zeta Phi Beta sorority event just days after President Joe Biden dropped out of the race and endorsed her candidacy, Harris emphasized her dedication to affordable health care, student debt relief, and gun control measures, including universal background checks and an assault weapons ban. She also hammered home that if she's elected president, she will restore a woman's right to choose an abortion.
When I am president of the United States, into law. We are not playing around.
Harris expressed her belief that the current administration has made progress toward a better future by implementing initiatives such as capping insulin prices for more affordable health care, passing the child tax credit, and forgiving student loan debt for millions of Americans.
And President Joe Biden speaking to the nation from the Oval Office. Wednesday evening framed his decision to step aside from the 2024 presidential race as a matter of saving democracy. Quoting the president, "I revere this office, but I love my country more." CNN reports that Biden said that in a rare Oval Office speech that marked the beginning of the closing chapter of his presidency and a half century in public service. Biden added, "It's been an honor of my life to serve as your president, but in defense of democracy, which is at stake and is more important than any title, I draw strength and I find joy in working for the American people." CNN notes that Oval Office addresses have historically been serious moments for presidents to speak to the American people at times of national crisis or to make major policy announcements. This was only the fourth time Biden addressed the nation from that setting. And groups that advocate for equity in higher education are speaking out in favor of a bill in the California legislature to make sure that college financial aid offers take into account the extra cost faced by students who have kids.
It's estimated that student parents have to spend an extra $7,500 a year compared to non-parents to cover child care, housing, transportation, and food. Su Jin Jez is CEO of the nonprofit California Competes, Higher Education for a Strong Economy.
It addresses college affordability by making financial aid adjustments for student parents to cover the true cost that they face to attend college. And then the other pieces around improving data collection.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
This is Public News Service. Next to Colorado, where clean air advocates are celebrating new EPA clean car standards, which they believe can play a major role in reducing air pollution impacting national parks and Colorado's Front Range communities.
The rule aims to cut more than 7 billion tons of greenhouse gases by requiring car makers to reduce or eliminate tailpipe pollution. Travis Mattson with the Southwest Energy Efficiency Project says the EPA's goals are achievable because you can drive where you want to go right now using zero emission technology.
Electric vehicles can take us along scenic byways. We've got charging stations in between Denver, where I live, and Rocky Mountain National Park. The tools are here now. They're available. They work. They can cut pollution.
The EPA downgraded the Front Range to severe for air quality violations in 2022, largely due to ground-level ozone pollution produced by oil and gas operations and tailpipe emissions. The new rule, which applies to passenger cars up to medium-duty vehicles sold between 2027 and 2032, has been embraced by automakers and unions. The EPA projects that the rule will create $100 billion in benefits each year, including $13 billion in health care savings due to improved air quality. I'm Eric Galatas.
And some Illinois educators made their way to Texas this week for the American Federation of Teachers convention.
AFT is one of the nation's largest labor unions for educators and school personnel, with nearly 2 million members, including more than 100,000 in Illinois. The organization promotes democracy, economic opportunity, and quality public education. Earlier this week, AFT President Randy Weingarten spoke to attendees in Houston on the impact of public schools in Illinois and nationwide.
Public schools are essential to our children's future and to our democracy. Every public school should be a place where families want to send their children, Educators want to work, and all students thrive.
I'm Terry D. reporting.
And finally, from our Eric Tigetoff, a meeting on sustainable fishing in Seattle could inspire greater protections for Washington State's waters in Olympia.
The State Innovation Exchange held the Sustainable Aquaculture and Working Waterfronts Convention with lawmakers from 13 states. Emma Newton with the State Innovation Exchange says big corporations dominate agriculture and farming, but large-scale industrial fish farming isn't in the United States yet.
However, we are seeing increased interest in putting these large-scale, essentially factory farms of the ocean in our waters. And they're a direct threat to our ocean ecosystems, our local fishers, and the native fish population.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here is on radio stations big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our content and trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.